Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
You may be a strong-willed man or woman if you believe this T-shirt inscription. Teamwork is everybody doing it my way. Welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem, Ted Ross there. What do you think, Ted? Does that sound like you're... Do you know anybody like that?
I have known people like that, I think. All of us went into those extra strong-willed people.
Sure. Well, I went to the Global Leadership Summit last week, which is a wonderful resource and recommend it. It happens every August, originating out of Willow Creek Church in Illinois, Chicago area. I don't recall that we learned that particular leadership style, but
weren't selling those shirts.
No. Today, we're going to talk about directing your strong will to improve relationships, expand influence, and honor God. And we're going to focus particularly on women. A Woman of Strength and Purpose is a brand new book out from Cynthia Tobias. In fact, it's just coming out tomorrow, and we're going to find out more, get some definitions. So, is your wife strong-willed woman?
In some ways, okay. I would say, yeah, it's one of the things that attracted me to her.
Sure,
she's confident, you know.
Good.
Yeah.
We'll find out, get some definitions of that. What is it? What do we really mean by a strong-willed woman? And you know, how does that relate to, you know, God's design for you know how He wants us to live? So, speaking of definitions, I thought we maybe need to change the definition of the word bolt. From a noun to a verb?
Yeah, I think so.
Going from fastener, as in, it's something that holds things together, to just fast. So, Usain Bolt in that 100-meter dash. My goodness.
Wow, just amazing to watch the gift that these athletes have.
They were saying, I saw a little bit of last night, said he's 6'5", so big guy. It takes 41 steps compared to 44 for the others.
Wow, that stride. Yeah.
Yeah. That's something. So, I wonder if strong-willed women take less steps to get things done than the rest of us.
Probably.
That was my tie-in there. So anyway, speaking of, if you like skipping steps, maybe you do it at the checkout counter. You don't like having a human interaction. Well, John Stone Street has a word about the self-checkout line on today's The Point.
Those dreaded words, unexpected item in the bagging area. For the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. With ever-cheaper technology and minimum wage hikes looming, more retailers are installing self-service checkouts where customers scan items and pay without ever seeing a cashier. Like all technology, it doesn't always work. And a new report by criminologists at the University of Leicester finds that automated checkouts often turn honest shoppers into thieves. The Telegraph reports that doing away with human interaction in the checkout line increases a store's rate of financial loss by almost 4 cents per item. Some of it's innocent human error. It's frustrating when barcodes don't scan or when we have to select from a dozen varieties of cucumber. But often, researchers say, customers just bag the item and leave because it's too frustrating to keep scanning. Look, as Chuck Colson often said, speaking from life experience, little moral compromises add to bigger ones. At the grocery store, too. So take an extra minute or two to pay, even if it's inconvenient. It's the right thing to do. With today's point, I'm John Stone Street.
We're going to be talking about, you know, doing the right things, maybe in the right way today, and particularly how God can use your gifting to further His kingdom. And we're happy to welcome back to Connecting Faith to Cynthia Ulrich Tobias. She has a successful background that includes more than 30 years as an author and popular speaker for business, churches, and schools around the world. She's 8 years of teaching public high school and 6 years in law enforcement. She's written a number of books and is often a guest on media, and we're honored to have her back with us. I think last time we talked, we were talking about middle school adventures, and we may get into a bit about learning styles again as well. Cynthia is, among other things, president of Learning Styles Unlimited, and she is the CEO of Apple Styles, Apple STLLC, Applied Learning Styles. And we're glad to have her back with us to talk about her brand new book, A Woman of Strength and Purpose, Directing Your Strong Will to Improve Relationships, Expand Influence, and Honor God. Cynthia, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Oh, thanks, Neil. Great to be here.
So let's talk with definitions first, because what does it mean? The SWW is the way you abbreviated in the book, the strong-willed woman. And is it a matter of a degree, or is it you either have it or don't?
Well, kind of both. I mean, we have a little quiz in here about, you know, if you, out of 12 statements, if you score 8 to 12, you're definitely a strong-willed woman. But strong-willed woman is an interesting thing. This is the book I was meant to write. I mean, I am one, takes one to know one. But it, like you mentioned at the beginning about teamwork, everybody doing it my way, there's a really big difference between a strong-willed woman or man, for that matter, with God and without God. And it's so easy to see the contrast and sometimes difficult to be on the right side of it. And there are so many strong-willed women out there. We're all kinds of different learning styles, we're all kinds of different personalities and everything else, but the thing we have in common is the strong will that comes through in the positive way of being undaunted, undeterred, not necessarily taking no for an answer, not afraid to attempt the impossible if that's what it takes to get it done. In the book, I kind of give the analogy of if we're strong-willed women in the army of God, we are the special ops, because when the commander-in-chief comes down with a job that nobody else wants and nobody thinks can be done, we're the ones willing to stand up and give it a shot.
Mm. Well, Cynthia, you said that it takes one to know one. So was this something that you felt just, you know, maybe hasn't been addressed, at least in Christian circles, that, you know, maybe it's just been the opposite that has been sort of the model that has been set before us?
Well, I run into a lot of strong-willed women who will say, you know, I use my strong will everywhere but the church. I don't really feel like I'm particularly welcome there, or that they particularly appreciate my input, because then maybe they think I'm too intense, or maybe they think I'm trying to be too controlling. And it's a difficult thing. I spoke at a large Christian women's thing a few years ago, a really prestigious one. 600 women were there. It was a fashion show and a luncheon and tea and all that. And out of the 600 women, I thought, just for fun, I'll give the strong-willed woman quiz and see how many are there. And out of 600 of them, guess how many were strong-willed at the 8 to 12 level? 25. And most of them were running the actual event, but they weren't in attendance. And I asked the women there, because it was a wonderful Christian group, I said, you know, where are those women? It's not that this isn't a wonderful venue. It is. But the strong-willed women aren't there. So we're not reaching this pretty significant portion of the population who are saying, you know what, it's great, I just, that's not my thing, I don't really feel like I fit, I'm going to go ahead and work on my own. And we're maybe missing harnessing some incredible power to fight the enemy, to promote the kingdom of God, to really do amazing things. Maybe the church is just a little bit behind and overlooking some women who have the power to really make a difference.
Well, I guess you mentioned that. You could certainly see that being the case, that, you know, there's a group of women that say, you know, I don't really have time for that. Is that one of the characteristics that there's, I don't want to use the word impatient, but that there's, you know, we're not just going to be wasting a lot of time?
Well, you know, I mean, I hesitate to put it that way because, nothing that we do like that is necessarily a waste of time. And there are many women that benefit from that. It's just that those of us who are in the strong will category are thinking, wow, it's a little bit fluffy, or it might be a little bit, I want a little bit more action. I want to move things forward. I've got all these things pressing in. I've got to get accomplished. It has to be pretty compelling, you know, to get me to stop. And I probably am not going to go to a fashion show or something that's what I would think is a little bit fluffy just for me. My sister is, you know, happy, but not me. So what do you have that's going to really draw and attract me? I want to be challenged. I want to be, you know, really motivated to do something a little bit bold.
Well, maybe that's let's talk about that phrase, do something, because that maybe is where the rub comes sometimes. How does a strong-willed woman balance sort of activity, just doing something, versus kind of waiting on the Lord?
Well, and that's, you know, of course, waiting on the Lord has some interesting possibilities, doesn't it? I mean, I want to be doing something, and I want to keep peddling while I'm waiting. But according to the Bible and according to what I've been taught and I know is true, it's not always. You know, you shouldn't always be doing something. What if you're doing the wrong thing? And one of my good friends, when I was working on the book, she's very opposite of me in style, but she's very similar to me in strength of will. So I said, well, let's talk about some things we agree on as strong-willed women. You know, you're real analytic, but I'm not, but we all strong women, we want to take action, right? And she goes, that's right, take action. So I said, well, let's get up, let's go, let's do. And she said, no, we have to sit down and make a plan first. And I said, make a plan? That's not action. And we're laughing because to her, you know, the action she was taking was way too tame for me, and yet we were both, we both had the same goal in mind. We were both very strong-willed about it. But we approach it in a very different way. And then the bottom line is, of course, we want to honor and glorify God in whatever way we do things. We don't want to be ahead of him, and we don't want to run over him, obviously. And we want to make sure that our actions and that our words bring honor and glory to God.
We'll develop that more as we go along today. I'm just curious, if you're a strong-willed, if your mother was a strong-willed woman, does that mean that you likely will be one as well? I mean, does it sort of get passed down?
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know genetically. I know I got it from my dad. My dad was a Nazarene pastor all my life. I watched his, he was very strong-willed. But what really won me over, even as a very small child, I watched him model how to be this strong-willed person who was not easily daunted and conquered, and yet he was the most incredible man of God, that he had patience with people, and he was a servant. He had a servant heart, and he wasn't easily discouraged, and he worked tirelessly. And I, you know, like a lot of strong-willed kids, I look at my parents and think, how do they do it? And especially when I have a strong-willed child, I recognize, whoa, I know he's looking at me, and I know he's taking a lot of cues from me, because somehow I'm parenting this younger version of myself.
In the moments ahead, we'll talk more about how can we have those characteristics of not be easily daunted or conquered, and yet be servant heart, to work tirelessly, yet to allow God to do his work as well. We're talking about a brand new book from Cynthia Tobias called A Woman of Strength and Purpose, Directing Your Strong Will to Improve Relationships, Expand Influence, and Honor God. We're honored to have her with us today, and we would love to have you join us as well. If you have a question or a comment, or maybe just a story experience, you can always join us at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. And if you'd like to sign up for a copy of the book as well, you can do that and get your contact information, and we'll do a drawing here at the end of the hour. So give us a call, sign up for a copy of the book, the brand new book just coming out, A Woman of Strength and Purpose. And we'll talk more with Cynthia Eldridge Tobias in just a moment. Strong will is God's will. Do you believe that? We're talking about it today with Cynthia Eldridge Tobias, author of You Can't Make Me, But I Can Be Persuaded. And she's written a number of other books as well, The Way We Learn, Every Child Can Succeed, Bringing Out the Best in Your Child, and more. This is a new one just come out called A Woman of Strength and Purpose. And the subtitle is Directing Your Strong Will to Improve Relationships, Expand Influence, Honor God. Cynthia's a best-selling author and has been speaking and teaching for 30-plus years, has a career in public schools as well as law enforcement. And we're talking strong will today, and we have some copies of the book to give away, and I'd love to have you join in the conversation. Cynthia, maybe before we talk about kind of how to make it work right, say a word about what happens when our strong will maybe takes the wrong direction.
Well, you know, every strong-willed woman I have a whole chapter called, you know, just because you can doesn't mean you should. All of us know that we have the power to build up or to cut down, and it can happen in a moment. And when we let the dark side come out and all of us understand what that is, we can, you know, we meant just to get a little dig in, but we can just tear a path of destruction. We can have a sarcastic reply or a mark that just, you know, devastates somebody. Or, you know, one of the big things that I think the book is meant to do is to take a look at how do we keep the strong will from going sideways. We want to succeed. We want to push forward. Sometimes we catch ourselves. It looks like we've run over a few people to do that. Uh-oh. We got to fix that, because we cannot use our strong will as an excuse for bad behavior. I want to succeed, but I don't. I will not do it dishonestly. I will not do it through deception, through manipulation. Most of us, as strong-willed women, we know how to manipulate if we need to. We know how to get through loopholes. We know how to get around pesky rules. The question is just because I can, should I? If my heart totally belongs to God, then I can't use what may actually come sort of naturally to me in order to accomplish the task or the goal. And that's a constant, you know, it's a constant thing that we have to maintain, you know, the whole thing of righteous indignation. I have to admit, in my life can quickly turn more indignation than righteous. So I have to keep myself accountable, and I have to make a conscious effort sometimes not to let the dark side take over.
Is there, because we're really maybe talking in some ways about self-sufficiency. Is there anything wrong with being self-sufficient?
Well, you know, certainly to a point, being self-sufficient is good. We want our kids to become responsible. We want them to become independent. As a woman, I want to be sure that I can, you know, I'm a successful businesswoman and I can do this and that. When it creeps over to the dark side is when I forget that I'm not supposed to do it all by myself, because my heart belongs to God. Because if I've dedicated my life and my strong will, by the way, to Him, then I can't just figure out how to use it without Him. I can remember being younger wondering, maybe there's something wrong with me. I shouldn't have this big a strong will. But God wants me to have the strong will. He just wants me to use it. And so I have to be aware of what I'm doing with it. And if I just kind of forge ahead, at some point I'm going to run into a wall, and I'm going to run into a situation where my strong will is not enough, and it's not enough to get through. And that's where the point of brokenness, which every single one of us have to deal with at some point, that says, okay, God, you're right. You made me, you created me. You made me strong like this, but it is in you that I'm strong, and it's not going off, you know, on my own and doing my own thing can't last very long. So I do have to come to the point that says I need to be, you know, I need to lay it at the foot of the cross. I give my strong will to Him. He doesn't just take it and not give it back. He actually takes it and consecrates it and completes it and gives it back to me in a new and amazing way, where He is my sufficiency and not just me doing it myself.
Do you think maybe many strong-willed women fully embrace their personality, or do they wish that they had a different temperament? You kind of, you know, said you wondered there are times in your life, say, well, you know, why is this a blessing or a curse?
Right. Well, you know, because I think a lot of times we feel it is a curse. We're thinking, well, how come if men do some of the things that we're good at, then they're considered leaders. But if we do it, maybe we're criticized as being, you know, controlling or bossy. And it's not really even just a man-woman thing. It's a matter of feeling like, if I use it in the right way, how can I be the best at what I do? And I do believe there are a lot of strong-willed women out there who have not really embraced it, because they're a little hesitant. You know, in certain situations, maybe people will misunderstand. Maybe they'll think I'm just trying to take over. Maybe they'll think I'm some sort of, you know, man basher, or maybe they'll think, you know, they'll think all these the misunderstandings will be there. And I believe that once we really understand how God created us and how He is amazing and wants us to actually accept how He's made us, that there will be some things, opportunities open to us to answer prayers and to be a servant for God in ways that He couldn't use anybody else. He needs us. He needs that strong will. He just needs us to work for Him.
Well, you're talking about, you know, some of the tensions in leadership. I mentioned right at the outset of the show the T-shirt, teamwork is everybody doing it my way. So what are some guidelines for leadership in terms of maybe practical ways that you can be strong and yet, have that servant heart as well?
Well, one of the things, when I was in law enforcement, I was the only woman for several years in a police department, and I didn't do it just because I wanted to prove a woman could do it. One of the things that was the most important to me was demonstrating rather than demanding. I didn't demand my rights to have equal opportunity in what was considered a man's profession at the time. I didn't want to do it on that basis. I wanted to work shoulder to shoulder with these men and these heroes. I wanted to demonstrate my ability to do the job and then to prove myself like anybody else would have to. And so instead of going around with a chip on my shoulder or being on guard or defensive, I just wanted to step up and be part, side by side, regardless of gender, of a job that I could really do. I think when we fall into a trap if we say, well, we need to recruit more women just to have women, or we need to have this to have... I don't want, as a strong-willed woman, I don't want any standards lowered for me in leadership. I want to be held to the same accountability as anyone else. I just want to be able to have the opportunity to work side by side and be effective using my strength of will instead of having it be dismissed.
And one of the things you talk about in your chapter on leadership, you mentioned accountability. It seems like that's probably, that should be a high value for all of us, regardless of our temperament, but say more about accountability.
I think it's huge, and I think it's sometimes the thing that makes it challenging for a strong-willed woman is we don't actually take criticism very well from strangers or from those who we don't think know what they're talking about or have any standing to criticize us. And so I emphasize in there I have accountability partners. I have three of them. It's usually not a good idea to make your spouse one because, then that can cause some tension in the marriage. But my sister and two really good friends, I have actually charged with the responsibility, not just given permission, but said, when you see me acting in a way that you know would not honor and glorify God, and you know that that's what I want to do, I'm charging you to come and to confront me with it and to point it out. And then even though I might bristle or feel a little defensive, I back right down because I realize this is what I ask for. I want God to be able to have ways to stop me, to correct me. I can get going and just kind of forget and get some blinders on because I'm going for the prize. I need an accountability partner because I want one. I want to keep my heart true to God. I want to keep a sweet spirit. I want to keep in line with Him.
Your God-given passion produces clear-eyed purpose, deep compassion, and a bold spirit that can change the world if you understand as a strong-willed person that you surrender that to God. We're talking about A Woman of Strength and Purpose, new book from Cynthia Tobias, Directing Your Strong Will to Improve Relationships, Expand Influence, and Honor God. And we'll talk more about it in a moment. I'd love to have you join the conversation or sign up for a copy of the new book just out. It's 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Cynthia Ulrich Tobias is a successful businesswoman, author, and speaker, and she's written a number of books, and we're happy to have her with us today on Connecting Faith, and we'll get back to more in just a moment. Talking about A Woman of Strength and Purpose today with Cynthia Tobias. She's a best-selling author, a speaker, served as a teacher for a number of years, and also in law enforcement. She's written a brand new book called A Woman of Strength and Purpose. You don't have to be silent or silence your strengths. Instead, let God use them to impact your world for good. And Cynthia, just say a bit about what the Bible has to say about maybe understanding this, because we think about passages. Peter talks about a godly woman, Proverbs 31 kind of paints a different picture. What do you look at when you look at Scripture in terms of maybe examples and lessons for us?
Well, you know, growing up, of course, in a pastor's home, I was kind of thinking maybe a strong woman, a quiet, virtuous woman is the Christian woman, and so I shouldn't speak up. And what if Proverbs 31 is literally, I am going to have to, you know, get up early in the morning in the fields and not say anything. But really, the more you look into the Scriptures and the more you look at the biblical women, Esther and Priscilla, and I mean, there's so many biblical women who are strong and who Jesus praised and who were part of his plan. And it wasn't that we just had to be a shy, retiring, don't speak up. It's a matter of when you speak up, you do it through the filter of wanting your heart to be right with God and wanting to serve and honor God. And all the way through, you know, as Christian women, we don't have to fit a particular mold. We're so different. I mean, God created us, the creator and designer of our strong will, has a lot of variety and a lot of flexibility with us as far as how he made us. It's just that we all come back to the one main objective of everything is, am I following him? Am I serving him? Am I making sure that my life is a reflection of him? And that's the challenge.
Yeah. You know, I think there's been a kind of a growing trend toward maybe the more aggressive girl, it seems like, particularly maybe the, you know, the school relationships and things. Are you concerned that maybe this emphasis, it gets misinterpreted, or that we're not pursuing it the right way, perhaps?
Well, one of the last chapters of the book talks about mentoring the next generation of strong-willed women. And I can remember being 26 and, you know, kind of impulsive, and I didn't understand my strong will as well then. I didn't know how to rein it in. I didn't understand that those who anger you control you and that I can be baited. And if I'd had, you know, a lot of us, if we have someone who can understand and who can explain to us that you don't have to, if you don't have to spend a lot of your time being defensive of your right to have your will, then you can actually have a lot of energy left over to accommodate others and to learn how to use your will in a softer way while still being strong. And so it's not a matter of, you know, there is a big difference between, and I talk about even in leadership, between what the world says is leadership, what you have to do, and what the Bible says, which is a servant heart, that a leader has to lead through a servant heart. So it doesn't mean that you're weak, but it means that as you are using your strengths, you are drawing others to Christ. And obviously, if you're aggressive, if you're angry, if you're defensive, none of that actually draws people to Christ. And again, that's such an important filter and one to explain to our strong-willed daughters and strong-willed students, and they're open to it. It's raw strength. It's raw talent. They just don't realize sometimes how to use it.
We'll talk more about the strong-willed child and more as we continue the conversation with Cynthia Tobias. We're talking about her new book, A Woman of Strength and Purpose. And we got a call from Kathy listening in Sioux Falls, Faith 1270. Kathy, you're on with Cynthia Tobias. Go ahead with your comment.
Hi, Kathy.
Oh, I just wanted to make a comment because I had heard Cynthia speak throughout the years on Focus on the Family. And as a child growing up, school was always very difficult for me. And so I wanted to be a better mother, helping my kids, you know, in their academic studies and so forth. And so I learned that I was a visual learner and audio learner, which really, because of that, I continued to learn that way, listening to things over and over again and studying the Word of God by listening to good sermons. And so my confidence of my intelligence has grown so much because that was my biggest fear, as people seeing how stupid I was. And now I'm a very confident person, knowing that I'm pretty much invincible with my confidence now, because even though it's harder for me to learn, I know I can learn. And so I just wanted to thank you, Cynthia, for being a inspiration to me and giving me that kind of confidence.
Thanks, Kathy, for that call.
Kathy.
Yeah, it's good encouragement, which reminds us, I guess, maybe, you know, how do parents, I mean, obviously we want to train up our children in the way that they should go, but if we see that our kids, you know, have some of the good traits of a strong will, how do we maybe enrich that, nourish that so that it grows?
Well, of course, in Proverbs where it says, in all our ways, you know, acknowledging him, so that we, and when we talk about training up a child, it becomes very important that we do recognize the differences and the strengths and focus on the strengths, but then take the strengths and again, aim them toward and make a target toward acknowledging God with that strength. And I remember talking to a chaplain years ago who said that in Proverbs 22:6, where it says train up a child, he said that there's the word train is used there uniquely in the original language to mean the clearing of the mouth when the baby is born and so that he can breathe. And he said what it actually means is train, you know, to create an environment for life for a child so that when, as they get older, they will not depart from the creator and designer of it. And the idea that as parents, you know, we're going to have children different than us, that's in the plan, but our strength and focusing on their strength is what keeps us grounded and aimed toward the right direction.
We're talking with Cynthia Tobias. The book is called A Woman of Strength and Purpose. The subtitle, Directing Your Strong Will to Improve Relationships, Expand Influence, and Honor God. And that brings up a good question from Patty, listening in North Dakota. Patty, you're on with Cynthia. Go ahead with your question.
Hi, Patty.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I am a strong-willed woman, and I often get criticized. I guess I take it as a criticism when I interact with people and I ask a lot of questions, not because I'm nosy or anything, but I'm concerned about the people and I just want to get to know the people. So should I react when someone says to me, well, you need to know everything about this person. Go ask Patty. She'll tell you everything. And so I kind of take that as a, you know, like a cut to me that it's not, you know, uplifting, that I shouldn't be doing that way. And I kind of want to then just back off and not talk to anybody. So could you just elaborate on being a strong-willed person like that, please?
Sure. And in fact, I think you're going to love the book because it's so encouraging and affirming. And there, in one of the chapters when we talk about, there are certain trigger phrases that people will say to us that can really not only hurt, but just almost make us want to retaliate or be angry. What is the matter with you? You know, when someone says, calm down, or, hey, it must be nice to know it all, and, you know, what makes you so special, those kind of things. And one of the things that we can do ourselves is try to figure out, how can I best react when someone says something that I want to just, you know, figuratively at least strangle them and say, you know, what a stupid thing to say. And that is, you know, to come back with something like, seriously, are you seriously wanting to know that? Or I can't believe that you asked me that question. And so that you turn it around a little and you give yourself a few, a few seconds at least to try to figure out, okay, I know I need to back off, and how am I going to get myself out of this? Because otherwise, if we come back at them with, you know, you're just maybe also an auditory person who, if you're like my husband, he asks a million questions, and I get so frustrated because I'm not a talker, and I'm a more introverted person, and I don't want to keep answering all his questions. So sometimes I'll say, time out. Just, can you just ask me three quick ones? Or maybe if you're the one asking the question, saying, well, let me just ask you three questions, so that the person doesn't think you're going to have an endless supply. You know, just to come up with some creative ideas, because obviously it sounds to me not like you're an inappropriate, strong-willed woman, but more like it's just a different style than some people are used to. And again, you can focus on your strength and use it in the right way. But I think you're really going to love the book, Patty, and get a lot of other ideas about what makes you such a great asset. The strengths that you have and the fact that you're so strong-willed is wonderful.
You mentioned your husband. Say a word about, you know, how the strong-willed woman gets along maybe with a passive male, or just what are some tips maybe for working through marital conflict, no matter kind of what personality your husband might have?
Oh, it was fun because we've done a conference before, and hopefully we'll again on strong-willed women and the men who love them. Most strong-willed women will, if you've been chosen by a strong-willed woman, you know, you're pretty special, because we respect strength. And then we get, but of course, then that can cause some conflict. And one of the things that, that is the most productive and most positive is that neither one of you is really the boss. For example, I mean, it's not that we're not trying to circumvent the biblical spiritual leadership of the husband and wife in the relationship, but neither one of us is good at everything. And so we begin to figure out, let's use the complementary strengths and figure out a little bit of give and take. I'm better at helping him figure out what he shouldn't wear in order to not be subjected to public ridicule. And he's a lot better when it comes to putting down the sales forecasting and spreadsheets. And we can go back and forth on the strengths. And instead of having one person be the head of everything, it's so much more positive when we, you know, both of us are pretty strong-willed, but it's important, and we keep learning day by day how we can use each other's complementary strengths to kind of back off some of the tension.
You know, we've touched just a little bit on the strong-willed child, and I know that, you know, you experienced that. In fact, wrote several books about it, including, you know, You Can't Make Me, But I Can Be Persuaded. But, you know, sometimes we maybe confuse a strong-willed with defiance, or maybe, you know, we just hope for one and not the other. Any words of wisdom for parents with the strong-willed child?
Well, of course, if you're a strong-willed parent, especially a strong-willed mom, you're probably parenting a younger version of you. And even though it seems very frustrating going toe-to-toe with that stubborn child and the defiant child sometimes, if you think about how you wanted to be spoken to when you were younger, you know, what kind of tone of voice worked best with you? Figure out, did ultimatums work with you? Well, no, they didn't. You know, is there a way to treat this younger version of you the way you wanted to be treated while still holding them accountable, not accepting bad behavior, but being able to keep your tone of voice such and your language such that it doesn't make it worse? And most of us as strong-willed moms can remember pretty clearly how we wanted to be treated as kids.
Well, Cynthia, I know that, you know, this is a book that you wrote, really, it kind of called to be written, but it took a little while to get it published, right? Because I'm sure the publishers weren't sure if this was one that they wanted to have on the shelves, maybe.
Oh, man, I ended up with a wonderful publisher, Waterbrook. They're so so enthusiastic and so supportive, and I'm really excited about the book, Neil. I think 439 women participated in surveys and are quoted in the book, and some women of strength. There are about six really good profiles, and I'm really humbled that God just uses me as a messenger, because I think this book will open some conversations, and there will be some women out there that do some amazing things that have nothing to do with me. I really believe that God, he rewrote some of these chapters, and I know it was him that did it, and I believe that he has an incredible purpose for this that none of us can even know, because it's just truly his book.
I encourage it to you. It's just coming out, I think, official launch date tomorrow, A Woman of Strength and Purpose, Directing Your Strong Will to Improve Relationships, Expand Influence, Honor God, from Cynthia Tobias. Cynthia, blessings to you. Thanks for the good conversation today and for offering some encouragement and wisdom.
Oh, thank you, Neil. You make it so easy.
Cynthia Tobias joining us today on Connecting Faith, and we'll do a little feedback and reaction coming up in just a few minutes.
I have decided, I called out his name, I'm following Jesus now.
talking about using our strength and purpose for God's glory. A Woman of Strength and Purpose, the title of the new book from Cynthia Tobias, our guest these past few minutes. And we always like here on Connecting Faith to make some application, right, to connect faith to life. So it's a time when we talk takeaways, and I was interested in your perspective. And Carissa, let's start with you. Did you resonate with Cynthia's thoughts today? So.
Yeah, and considering I'm the only woman on this team,
sure,
should be doing more of the talking, right?
That's always true. Yeah.
I liked when she was talking about being just a strong-willed woman with God versus without Him. And I know in my own life I lived a season of independence and trying to do things my own strength, but I was very weak on the inside. And I still am discovering certain insecurities about myself, but that I'm discovering my true strength comes from God, and just to lean into Him and to just live that out in my life as opposed to just trying to go without direction.
It's a good word. Yeah. You know, I think something she said resonates whether you're a man or a woman. If you're a person of strong will and drive, to not put others down around you. I mean, she said a word about that, and just keeping in mind treating people the way Jesus would treat them and just having the respect. I mean, common decency. You can have a goal and you can have a desire, but you don't have to step on other people to achieve your goal.
Yeah, I think she described it as I want to demonstrate, not demand.
Yes.
You know, and which is a good word, I think, for all of us, right? That, and you know, she does admit, she said sarcasm was one of the things that she ended up using a lot and wasn't always the right way to handle things.
Yeah, I think sometimes people think they're being funny or that that's an attractive thing to do that, but it's really not. So,
Right. Yeah. And another thing that stood out to me was just in marriage relationships and how we can avoid conflict by just allowing the other person to embrace their strengths, but just kind of being reserved. And for me as a newlywed, I found myself, I still have a tendency to be independent because I was living that lifestyle for so long and living by myself and taking care of my things in my own timing. And now it's just, I'm really learning a lot about allowing my husband to take the lead in areas. And it's just overall, I believe, honoring to God. And so I'm thankful for that.
She says, you know, strong-willed women don't always feel their strengths are welcome when it comes to participation in leadership, particularly the church. But she said, you know, what if dozens of women within the walls of your church could come together in Christ to pray and fellowship and form a bond so strong that the enemy could not defeat them? And she talked about, you know, we're kind of we're the special ops folks, you know, so good word. Well, she does talk in the book as well about mentoring and role models and in a conversation we had, I guess it was maybe 6 months ago or so when Eric Metaxas's new book came out, Seven Women and the Secret of Their Greatness, talked a little bit about, you know, the importance of role models, which is really why he wrote that book. And thought we'd just offer a word from Eric Metaxas, who's a best-selling author, of course, and you hear him regularly on the Breakpoint commentaries, reflecting on his book, Seven Women and the Secret of Their Greatness.
In the Seven Men book, really, I said principally I want young men to get seven pictures of seven lives that are great, that God would say, in my estimation, that God would say that they're great. And also for young women to read about what makes a great man. So when they choose a husband, they're thinking about those kinds of qualities. And I thought of the same thing, as I say, for seven women, that young women today, what kind of messages are they getting about what does it mean to be a woman? Very mixed messages. I think oftentimes getting really negative, messed up kind of messages. And I said, these are seven women that are so great that when you just come in contact with the story, you cannot help but feel drawn to wanting to be a better person. And so I really did put these out as examples. And so, they're not just for young people, but I think that oftentimes people, you know, buy them to give to a young person in their life. The writing is much simpler than in my Bonhoeffer or Wilberforce books. It's not all that simple, but it's definitely something that, you know, you could give to a 15-year-old and not worry about it. But it's to really boil it down to the qualities that gets tougher. But I think really living for others, what the New Testament calls agape love, to live for others, to sacrifice yourself for others. The irony is we can only be our truest selves when we're living for others. God created us, you know, to live for others. It doesn't mean we become doormats. Of course not. But But ultimately, that's why we're here, is to bless others and to serve others with what we have. And I would say that the seven characters in each book represent that virtue.
Good role models, Eric Metaxas, in his new book, Seven Women and the Secret of Their Greatness. And we heard talked to Cynthia Tobias before about her new book, A Woman of Strength and Purpose. And one of those purposes was to honor God. We each Monday like to take time to reflect on a memory verse just to kind of help us remember God's word and focus on it. And thanks to a message from Andy Stanley some years ago called Punch List, he provided us with a little commentary on each of these verses. So here's our verse for today. It's from Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight.
Do you know what the lie behind pride is, the reason we're proud? It's because we think we're something. We do. We think we're something. And you know what else we think? We think everybody else isn't quite as something as we're something, don't we? I mean, they're okay, but they're not as okay as me. You know, I'm something. And so consequently, hey, that was my idea, sir. You know, that was my idea. Did you know I came up with that? You know, I originated that thought. I wrote this. You know, we point to all of our accomplishments. And oftentimes, our character issues are all tied up in our pride. We can't be wrong. You know, we defend it. We lie to keep from, you know, our pride. Look at this verse. This is a great, great verse. Our kids, we've memorized this as a family. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts, if you're going to boast, boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. See, if you have a problem admitting you're wrong, if you have a problem with pride, you need to have it. It is written. So that as soon as your mouth opens and you start down that road, there's something that says, no. Let not the wise man boast about his wisdom, or the strong man boast about his strength, or the rich man boast about his riches. But if I'm going to boast, if I'm going to tie my self-esteem up in something, it's going to be that I know my Heavenly Father. For in those things, he delights.
It's from Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, our memory verse for today on pride. It's a good one, Ted, to kind of hang on to this week and really every week.
So. Yeah, got to stay humble.
Yes, good word. Say this, by the way, there's still time to join or donate to the Live Free Challenge going on through the month of August. You choose a mileage goal to walk, run, or bike, and a fundraising goal to help raise over $50,000 to rescue lives. It's the funds going directly to the International Justice Mission, the work that they are doing to rescue victims of trafficking. And we encourage you to be a part of that. And maybe you have some friends that are involved. There's several hundred that are actively engaged in getting fit this month and looking to raise some funds as well. So be a part of it.
Yeah, we are thrilled to say that we've actually achieved our goal, yeah. But there's always room for more and more work to be done helping the International Justice Mission put an end to human trafficking and slavery. So
you could be a part of it in a very powerful way. So check it out online, myfaithradio.com. It's myfaithradio.com. If you're new to the broadcast, I'd love to have you check in with us as well. We've got a welcome pack that we could send your way. Just for checking in, and maybe you've just found us recently in one of our new FM translators, or you're listening to the new Faith 1290 in Hartford, say welcome aboard. Glad to have you listening. Check out more about Faith Radio online, myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com.
Big day tomorrow, Neil. You know, a lot of couples, the old adage is, don't let the sun go down on your anger,
yep.
But that verse might be taken out of context, right? Yeah.
Well, we're going to stay up and fight tomorrow.
Okay.
So, yes, so. My wife told me I should listen. So, no, actually, don't go to bed angry. Stay up and fight. That's our conversation tomorrow. Ministry leaders Ron and Deb DeArmond will give us permission to fight and strategies to work through the conflict. So hope that you can be a part of it tomorrow and maybe get some new ways that you can work through life's challenges. If you missed part of today's show, you want to check it out online. We post the interviews on our Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com. So look for it there, myfaithradio.com.